This is Thoughts on the Table by DisgracesOnTheMenu.com.
Hi everybody, welcome to the audio blog. Paolo back for another episode. Today I'm here with my friend Manuela, a good friend of mine. We've been in contact for many years, and she writes this fantastic food blog, ManusMenu.com. Manuela, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thanks. You?
Good. It's a great moment for me because I get to introduce you to the people that listen to my audio blog. I've always been impressed with your food blog, the quality of the recipes you post, how traditional they are in their flavors, how beautiful are your pictures. So it's a great moment for me. And I get an opportunity to help you launch your new ebook. So, Manuela.
Oh, I'm very, very pleased to be here. And I know we share a big passion for traditional Italian cooking. So I'm really happy and honored to be here today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure. So let's talk about you a little bit for those few that don't know you. So you've been writing this blog, ManusMenu.com, for now about 3 years.
Yes, right? 3 years in January.
Yeah. In January. And I've seen you've received so many awards and you published so many fantastic recipes. Do you know more or less how many recipes you've posted?
I think a little over 600.
Wow.
yes, it's a lot.
Very prolific work here. I'm maybe I have like 30 and I've been around for longer. So certainly not my 40. But anyway, and they're all beautiful recipes with fantastic step-by-step instructions. So a lot of pictures as well that go into your work. I've noticed that photography has always been one of the strongest points of yours. How do you feel about food photography in general?
It's something that I actually discovered while blogging. And it's also become more and more important with time. At the beginning, you can see that my pictures were not as good as they are now. And I think food photography is very important for food bloggers. But there must be something behind it as well. So it's not only about photography. It's also about the quality of the recipe and the ingredients that you're using. So, yeah, it is very important because, you know, the first impression is very significant.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah. Food is, you start tasting it with your eyes. But I've seen your step-by-steps and each photograph is very descriptive of how you actually prepare the dish. So it really helps a person that wants to replicate the recipe. So that takes some skills. I know that when I'm cooking and I want to take step-by-step pictures, it's really difficult because my hands are dirty. The timing is critical. I can't just leave and go take the picture. So I know how hard it is. So I really appreciate your work.
Yeah, it can be quite tricky. And I actually have two cameras. So I have a camera that is an older camera that I use in the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And then I have a better camera that I use to take the final pictures.
I see.
And yeah, I could not take good pictures, you know, with a big camera in the kitchen with my filthy hands, especially if I make, you know, pasta and those like that.
Yeah, it's really, it's really flowery.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about your ebook. It's just come out. It's been out for just about a month. Is that right?
Yes.
And it's very appropriate that it's come out now because it's about 4 complete Christmas menus. Each one from the appetizer to the dessert, which is great because it has its own natural progression and the right flavors, the right combination, and it goes really nicely together. Yeah. So how did you get this idea? Is it something that you've always wanted to do?
It's actually something that I do regularly.
Oh, I see.
And yeah, I do it every year with my family.
Mm-hmm.
So we sit down together and we plan these 4 meals that we are going to have during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that because we all like cooking in the house. We also try to please everyone. So we really need to be, to sit down and think through it.
Mm-hmm.
And try to also not to repeat what we've done the past years.
I see.
we have like a booklet where we write down all the things that we have cooked before.
Also, you keep a record, like historical.
Yes, we do. Yes. So we know what we've eaten like 2 or 3 years ago. And we don't usually repeat the same dish over the holidays, even though we liked it.
Because you have that strong of a memory of how it was, and you don't want to have it again.
We just want to always experiment. It's the time of the year when we have more time to cook together,
right?
As a family, mm-hmm. So we really want to experiment and try new things.
Interesting.
And if we like something, then we just do it again another time, mm-hmm. but not for the holidays.
I see. I understand. Yeah, there's more time to do it over again.
Yeah.
But you want to have something new, which is very original. I know that a lot of families are very traditional about the meals that they cook over the holidays. There's some classics that cannot be missing. For sure, my family was like that. There's always some standards. So certainly, we didn't want to try something new on such an important day, right? So it takes some guts to do it, right?
Yeah. We like to experiment, but we also like to keep traditions. So what we do is we usually take a dish that is very traditional, mm-hmm. but we make it in a different way. So, for example, we have always stuffed pasta on Christmas Eve, mm-hmm. and we change the stuffing every year, and we also change the way it's served. So we used to have it in a broth in Italy, because it was winter and cold.
Yeah.
But now here in Australia, we cannot do that anymore.
Of course.
So we try to have it either with butter and sage or garlic and even tomato sauce or, mm-hmm. some other lighter
In dry sauce. Dry form. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see. Actually, that's another question that I meant to ask you. Did you have at all to adjust to the climate? The fact that you live in Australia and your Christmas happened in the summer, did it change the choice of recipes?
It did and it didn't. It's something that we have to deal with every year now. Mm-hmm. So we try to keep it traditional, but at the same time, we try to adjust it. So what I've done for this book, I've given the recipe as I would be making it in Italy, because it is an Italian menu. Mm-hmm. But I have also given options for people who live in the Southern Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. So, for example, here we cannot find artichokes. They're not very easy to come around now at this time of the year, but they are a very important part of Italian Christmas cooking.
That's right. Yeah.
So what I've done is I have actually given the correct recipe as I would be making it in Italy, and then I've given an option to substitute it for example, artichokes can be easily substituted with zucchini, which, strangely enough, because I have tried the recipes, mm-hmm. And they work very well. So, that's what I've done. But I didn't really want to make a summer menu because it wouldn't be Italian.
Yeah, it's true.
I have to adjust it a little bit here. Mm-hmm. And I've actually cooked the majority of these dishes in spring so that I could have access to both the ingredients.
Oh, I see.
And I could try both ways.
I see.
And make sure that they worked.
Nice. And that's one thing about your recipes. They're always really made and proven to work.
Yeah. And I never put anything on my blog that I haven't eaten.
That's true.
And that I haven't liked. So if I don't like it, it doesn't go on the blog.
That's really cool. And also was wondering, do you eat everything you cook?
This is a little secret.
You don't have to say it's a secret.
No, that's fine. It's okay. It's good. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that many people may wonder, because I have 600 recipes on my site. So we do eat most of the things that I cook, mm-hmm. but we don't eat all of them. Okay. So I sometimes divide them with friends and neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Very lucky neighbors.
To my husband. Yeah. I'll give them to my husband to take to the office. Or even if I can, I just make less. So, for example, even if I give you a recipe for 4 people or 6 people, mm-hmm. sometimes for some recipes, you can do that and you can just make it for one mm-hmm. or for two. And then we just divide it, especially for sweets and desserts, mm-hmm. Because it wouldn't be possible to eat, cakes every day.
I was wondering, it was the happiest family ever. But at the same time, it could become problematic after a while.
Yeah, especially since, I don't have a big family. We have two adults and two little children, mm-hmm. and they don't eat much. Even though they have a very sweet tooth, I have to say.
Of course.
But still, you know, no, it's, yeah, I try to always make a little less. And I think it's a good thing with Italian food as mm-hmm. well. Because we tend to eat smaller portions of food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also why I have given out 5 dishes per menu,
mm-hmm.
which may seem a lot for someone who's not used to Italian cooking. But because the portions that we eat are not as big as the portions that people in North America or Australia even eat.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's probably the biggest difference. And what I've said as well in the introduction of my ebook is that mm-hmm. you can either go the whole way or you can just choose 3 recipes per menu and just stick to that. But if you do decide to go the whole way, then you just need to be careful of how much food you're putting in your plate.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to get to the end of the meal and have mm-hmm. to roll the bed. So.
Yeah, I remember my grandma always telling me, watch the bread, don't eat it, don't even start, just leave it. You know, you're enjoying your appetizer, have it without bread, because there's a lot to come. But that's one thing. You're right, Italian meals often are structured in multiple courses. Even a daily meal would have a first course and a second course. But they're smaller, of course. But if I have to be honest, there is one place where we maybe exceed a little bit, and that's exactly on this celebration like Christmas and New Year's Eve, where really a lot of Italians will make a point to stuff themselves as much as they can. We don't recommend it. There's a lot of problems with that. But yeah, if you want to do it once a year, what's the problem? Come on, you can do it.
Well, another thing is that in Italy, usually we have many people coming over for a meal, right? Because you have big families.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone usually, at least in my family, we used to divide the workload.
Mm-hmm.
So we would actually have many more than 5 dishes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So you can have a little bit of everything. And often it's like potluck.
Yeah,
right?
So
everyone brings in something. And in this case, instead, I said, you know, I just want to have a menu for a dinner where you can just sit down and have it with your close family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I have only 5 dishes.
Okay, I understand. So it's really interesting. I would like to, if you agree, look at one of these menus and go through, as a teaser for our listeners, go through each of the courses and have your introduction and have some information about the dish from you directly. Which menu would you like to choose?
I think Christmas Eve, because I think it's the one that is the most different to mm-hmm. other Christmas traditions around the world.
Okay, yeah. So I have it here, and we can go through the different courses. Mm-hmm. Starting from the appetizer, which is the gratin of mussels. Is that right?
Yep. So what we usually have is fish or vegetables for mm-hmm. Christmas Eve. And that's probably because then the next day we eat a lot.
mm-hmm.
So we try to keep it lighter. So this menu is quite traditional,
mm-hmm.
even though it has some modern twists. And the appetizer is a very traditional dish. It's very easy to make, and it's just really tasty.
Yeah, I've had it many times in Italy. It is one of my favorite. Okay, we have the gratin ready, and then we can move on to our first course, which is a dish of stuffed pasta, casoncelli. Is that right?
Yeah, as we were saying before, we always have stuffed pasta. Mm-hmm. And but this one is a case for which I had to compromise. As you can see, it has also Italian speck in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because my husband doesn't eat purely vegetarian dishes. So he loves meat. He cannot have something without meat in it. So I had to add the speck to make him happy, because everyone has to be happy, right? For Christmas.
Uh-huh.
But it can be easily made into a vegetarian dish just by leaving out the speck.
That's good to know. I normally have the opposite problem. I have to take something out to be able to cook it. Okay, well, I can see that though the speck would be a very nice addition to this dish. It looks amazing. I have your picture in front of me.
And as you know, casoncelli are very traditional of Northern Italy. So it is a kind of stuffed pasta that is from Bergamo.
Ah, it's from Bergamo. Yeah, I was wondering, yeah. Bergamo, Brescia. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, both towns, I think, with different stuffing.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Looking, served with a light butter and sage, as I can see.
Yeah.
And then let's continue on to the second course, which is, now you need to help me with the pronunciation, salmon en papillote?
Yes,
very good. My French is coming out right.
or al cartoccio, as we would say.
Mm-hmm. Which is another traditional dish. The tradition of cooking fish, salmon in this case, wrapped in tin foil.
Yes, and it's also a very, it's my favorite way to actually eat, mm-hmm. cook and eat fish, because it retains all its taste.
Yeah.
And it's very delicate. You don't really need to put too many ingredients inside it, because when you have good quality ingredients and good quality fish, then mm-hmm. that's really all you need. And I've just added a little bit of lemon juice and olive oil and some herbs, and that's it.
So you would say really easy to make as well?
Very, very easy.
Nice.
Everyone can make this. And it's good as well because it saves you time.
Mm-hmm.
And we always have a lot of cooking to do also for the following day.
Right.
So this is one dish that you can just make and keep in the fridge and then just put it in the oven when it's time to eat and it's ready in 15 minutes.
That's a very good tip. Nice. Something useful. And now, you know, looking at the side for this dish, you're presenting something that is instead a regional dish from Naples, which I personally didn't know. I'm from the north, as a reminder for those who don't know. I'm sure you figured by now. And I didn't know this dish. And it looks fantastic again from the picture. Can you talk about this Neapolitan salad or insalata di rinforzo, how it's called in Naples?
Yes, it's actually a salad that doesn't have any leafy vegetables in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's made with cauliflower and all kinds of salted ingredients like anchovies and olives and red bell peppers in vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is quite strong in flavor.
Yeah.
And it's called di rinforzo, which means supporting.
Ah, okay.
Because it tends to complement the meal that is actually the lightest meal of the holidays.
Oh, I
and,
see.
And what happens often is that you keep adding things to it. Mm-hmm. As the holidays go by, and then you keep eating it every day. So if something if there is less of cauliflower, you just boil some more cauliflower and just add it to it,
mm-hmm.
and you keep on eating and eating and eating until, you know, you're satisfied and happy with it.
So let me go over this again. So you have this salad, and you keep on adding to it as the holiday progresses. Does it mean that you start from the leftover from the day before, and you add
yes,
to it?
Yes, you do. Yes, you
really?
Do, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's very clever.
Yes. Until you finish all your ingredients. And then, you know, that's it for the year. But it's very nice because what happens is it goes very well with fish.
Mm-hmm.
And it, because it has a lot of vinegar as well in
right.
it cleanses your palate.
That's right.
And yeah, it complements the lighter meal very well.
Fantastic. You don't see that very much. And now we got to the dessert already. Is that right?
Yep.
The dessert looks also amazing. Of course, it's a salted caramel semifreddo with warm chocolate sauce.
That's one of my favorite.
I can see that. Yeah. So how did you choose this dish? How did you decide to feature it in your menu?
We always have semifreddo for Christmas. It's mm-hmm. a tradition. And we usually have it with candied nuts. And torrone and you know, almonds, hazelnuts, and pistachios.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to make something a little bit more modern this time. So I went for something that I really, really like, which is caramel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made this salted caramel semifreddo. And then I cannot, you know, have a semifreddo without a sauce on it.
Of course.
And I think that the chocolate sauce goes very well with the caramel because the caramel is sweet mm-hmm. and the chocolate sauce is a little bit bitter.
I see.
And it complements it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so the caramel is not overpowering, you know, the sweetness of the caramel.
Fantastic. Also, salted caramel is very trendy these days.
It
so
is.
It's something that a lot of people really love. And we should probably say a semifreddo is some kind of ice cream cake.
I don't know
if it doesn't accept the translation, just for those who are not familiar with the term. Yeah.
It's sort of like an ice cream, but it's a bit softer in consistency.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Manon, great work. As I said, a fantastic book. If you're listening to this and you want to look for some ideas for your holiday menus, you know what to do. Go download this book from Manuela. And Manon, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Fantastic.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for being here. Talk soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.